Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast, Single, Not Stalled, Pursuing Sanctity in Your Singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica and Katie, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives, as we dive into conversations about faith, friendship, professional growth, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together. Hi, Katie.
Hey, here we are.
Here we are. Let's dive in. What's your joy for the week?
I love it. Okay, this is going to sound like a funny joy, but alas, it is what it is. As part of Lent, I'm trying to do some like longer kind of extended fasts, which is kind of a unique thing. And so anyway, so I'm in the midst of one now, and it's a joy because it's just reminded me how much, like how good it can be for your prayer and your like presence of God, because you have a lot of presence of food. And so suddenly like you can take that and like turn it into presence of God. So it's kind of been a joy in that sense of being able to like pray with that and really think of it. I always think of Mark Wahlberg since he's always talking about fasting when he does stuff on Hollow, which cracks me up. But anyway,
he's funny,
like,
yeah.
Pray, stay prayed up. And then he's like always fasting. So anyway, so I like feel like that. So that's my joy for the week. It's funny. I was actually just reading a fun fiction book last night. And I like fasted all day yesterday. And it was like all about food. They were in the dining car of this train. And I was like, I'm so hungry. And I was like, I'm not really. I just am reading about this. Anyway, so that's it's a random joy, but that's a joy for me for this week. What do I
do? I love it. That's so fun. My joy. My couch is getting delivered.
Yay.
I'm in a new place and it's really echoey and empty. And so there's exciting like parts of finally like pieces are coming together and kind of. Yeah, this is, I think, a season of a lot of firsts for me and ways to like really grow and challenge, like grow a lot of like challenge and growing in friendship with others, growing like romantically, like in dating and trying to push myself out of my comfort zone and like creating hobbies, creating my new space. Like there's a lot of change and challenge and growth. And that is, I enjoy it. When you embrace it, I mean, like, I've decided to just, like, embrace it. And so it brings joy when you do that.
And it's true. This makes me think we should do an episode on hobbies and the importance of hobbies and the need for them.
Sure.
I think we often don't cultivate them. But it is really interesting. It's one of those things that people often ask you. Like, oh,
I know.
Like, outside of this, like, someone asked me the other day. Oh, I was like, where was I? I was at this 40th birthday party for a friend of mine. And it was, like, at this wine bar. And it was super fun. And so I met this new person, this new man. And so we were sitting there talking or whatever. And he was like, so who is Katie outside of social media management?
Oh.
And I was like,
hey,
I hike. And anyway, yeah, suddenly, like it was a really funny thing. And I was like, oh, right. Like, who am I outside of my job and my profession?
Yeah, you suddenly kind of go blank. And this happens, anyone listening, like dating, it's like, people ask you that all the time. Like, what's your hobbies? What do you do for fun? And I blank. And I'm like, oh my gosh, do I have fun? Oh, shoot. What do I do? You know, and so I think that hobbies have changed a little bit over time and whatever with TV and social media, like all these things, it's kind of adjusted how we use our time. But totally. I actually think it's interesting to think about. We could probably do a whole episode on how you kind of identify yourself or introduce yourself. And it's a very, very American mentality to introduce yourself with your career. Like, this is what I do. And someone's like, no, I asked who you are. Yeah, it's just making me think of this article I read where, I don't know, it's an Asian country. Maybe it's Japan, where it's like they kind of introduce themselves or talk about the things they do, like their hobbies and their interests, rather than what they do, like professionally. And it's true, like you probably understand so much more from someone based on how they fill their time and their days versus what they do for a living.
Yeah, for some people, I think. I think for others, you're like, yeah.
You know, for most, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, fascinating.
Yeah. But that's not what we're talking about today.
It's not. Yeah, yeah. We don't want to get sidetracked too far, but no. We'll get there, though. Actually, hobbies. I'm going to make a note so we can do hobbies at some other point.
Good.
Yeah. So homework from last week. So last week, if you recall, we talked about kind of making sure that we're asking God for things and making sure that we're actually praying for what we want and being kind of relentless in that prayer and not giving up and taking that to God and the importance of that. And so one of the things that we had kind of talked about is like the takeaway is like, what do I need to be taking more to prayer? What do I need to be asking God more for and making sure that I'm doing? But what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think I realized I get kind of hyper fixated This is a part of my personality. I think I get a little, maybe it's like ADHD, and I like latch onto this and latch onto that. And that I actually treat my prayer very similarly, where it's like I'm voracious in praying for one specific thing for a period of time. And then I'm like, da da da. And then I fade off into something else. And then I moderately pray for this or that. And so I think my takeaway was actually to really thoughtfully and prayerfully craft a list to help me remind myself, because it's not that the things I want are unimportant to me. I think it's just the way my mind works. Sure. Not all the things are always on the forefront of my mind. Mm-hmm. So we sometimes forget maybe to pray about them or to be considerate of them. And so yeah, I was like, oh, I should just kind of have a list, and I should probably keep it next to my bed. This idea of habit stacking next to my bed, where I'm going to be able to like access it first thing in the morning or last thing at night, to be kind of cognizant of like what I'm praying about and what I'm praying for, and even like the people in my life, right? Sure. That I'm like praying for. Yeah, that's my takeaway. What's yours?
It's interesting. So, you know, we recorded that podcast last week, and it was like really on my mind. And then I went to this talk with a priest, and he was talking about, you know, like evangelization and apostolate and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and he reminded the group who was there of something that St. Jose Maria used to say, which is, you know, like when you're looking at any kind of like apostolic endeavor, anything that you're doing, whatever, whether it's running a Bible study or meeting a friend for coffee or whatever, right? That the order in which things should go is prayer first, mortification, and then in the third place, very much in the third place, action, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking of that in relation to what we were talking about and like asking for things. And then I was headed off to Benedictine. I make trips out there to go and see some of the college girls who are out there and give them kind of a virtue class. I don't know, basically. Anyway, and see them and that kind of a thing. And I was like, oh, like that, I got to make sure that I'm praying a lot for the girls that I'm seeing, right? Also praying for this like class that I'm giving to make sure that it's like not even just well-received, but that like the girls hear what they need to hear from it, right? That each takes away their own thing and all that kind of stuff. So that for me was like really helpful, just as a reminder of like, I need to make sure that I'm really praying for these specific moments, these specific people. And I do like in a broad sense, but like, anyway, so I was just helping me like specifically pray for them by name and offer up different things throughout the week that were challenging.
I love that.
For that.
I love that. Nice.
Yeah.
Good takeaways.
It's true. This week we're kind of shifting into a different focus. Well, I guess we don't really have an overarching thread that runs through, but this is based on a podcast and an article that Monica came across, right? Tell us about it.
It is. Yeah. It's actually a podcast one of my friends shared with me, and it's not this exact episode that he shared with me, but I was kind of, I liked the narrator or the host, the host. And so I was curious about like, you know, other content he's put out and stuff like that. And so anyways, I came across this, his name is Derek Thompson, and he wrote an article, I think for The Atlantic, on the antisocial century. And I was like, oh, this is so interesting. Century. Okay. Because I think we think that maybe it was a modern issue, or like it's a product of COVID, or it's all of these things. And so then I listened to him interviewing, I think his name is Nick Epley or Atley. Let me double check. But he's a professor here in Chicago at UChicago, Nick Epley, who did this really interesting research kind of on public transportation in Chicago. And I found it fascinating. And I was like, wow, this kind of parallels a little bit to our friendship episode. So if you haven't listened to that one, go take a listen. But this one, I think, challenges the idea of expanding beyond friendship and this challenge to move away from solitude and back to community.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, you know, the friendship episode is one of the most downloaded episodes, and one of the ones that when I meet random people, even if I've never met them before and they've listened to the podcast, that's the episode that they're like, I really like that episode. And I've had a lot of married people tell me that, which I think is also very funny, because like it's technically, you know, for single people, but everyone's listening, so that's cool. But
I think that speaks to what this episode was talking about, this podcast, in that people are more alone than ever, and they are craving connection.
Well, and what I found fascinating about this podcast and the article, right, is that like, okay, yes, Americans are now spending more time alone than ever before. And his thesis is like, it's changing our personalities, our politics, and our relationships. But what I think is fascinating about all of this is that when they did the studies, people thought they would be happier if they didn't engage.
Yeah.
And therefore, they didn't engage.
So let me clarify really quickly what Nick Epley did. he kind of had this thesis, this idea, this theory that, you know, what if people engaged with strangers? And so his whole study was that he took two groups. He took a control group and the experimental group. And he told the control group, don't talk to anybody. Go onto your public transportation. Go onto your bus. Go onto your train and don't say anything.
He took three groups. The one, the control, was just do what you normally do.
Oh, right.
The second group was don't talk to anybody. And the third group was talk to the person next to you.
To the person next to you. And so everybody thought that sticking to themselves, listening to the music, reading their book, listening to their podcast, whatever, would make them happier. And reportedly, those who spoke to the person next to them and engaged in conversation were happier than those who stayed in solitude. And so his whole thing is that we're actually, because we're a social people, like we are happier when we engage with others, and that most people don't engage with others because they're worried. They're scared that the person doesn't want to talk to me. I'm going to bother them. It's going to be weird. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be uncomfortable. So they don't engage. It's not because I don't want to. It's because I'm uncomfortable that we disengage and we stay alone, but it's actually detrimental to our health and our well-being.
Yeah. And I thought was interesting too in this study is that usually people didn't interact, not because they were worried about like what to say. Like as an introvert, I was listening and I was like, I don't even know what to say. They weren't sitting there thinking like, I don't know what to say. This is going to be awkward for me. The reason people often didn't engage is because they thought the other person wasn't going to want to have a conversation with them, even though they did want to have a conversation. Like they would have been open and willing to have a conversation. And then as it turns out, people are willing and like happy to have conversations with people because we're social beings, but we think incorrectly that other people don't want to talk with us. And therefore we don't engage.
Yeah. And he had so many interesting stories about these people that he encountered, because then they interviewed this random person, these strangers, like, what was your commute like? And that most people when engaged with really light up. And what's so interesting is, so this challenged me in a lot of ways. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm actually a very social person. I think I have a lot of friends, but I really stick to myself. Like I think in new social settings, I'm pretty standoffish. I think that probably comes across in my dating life in some ways. I'm really open and fun with my friends and with people I feel really comfortable with. But I almost always, like if I'm going to go shopping, for example, I went to like Home Goods and At Home recently because I needed more stuff for the apartment. And to wander around the store, I had my headphones in and I was listening to music.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm serious. I do that often.
Girl, I don't even do that.
I do that often because I'm like, I want to have a good time and I want to like vibe out to my music. And, but it, yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, I need to stop doing that. Like I really, really do. I need to stop doing that. And so anyways, it just, this really sent me into like a very kind of deep thought project to really kind of challenge in some ways, like how I'm operating in life.
It's interesting. It was making me think too. So I don't do that. I definitely shout without my headphones in. But like for me, like I'm very introverted, but I'm like pretty good at faking being extroverted, but I'm like super introverted. So for me, I see that most manifest like on airplanes. Like I get to the airport and I put my headphones in. Like almost immediately. Like I get through security and those headphones go in. Cause like I'm like, I don't, and they stay in while I'm boarding the plane, they stay in while I'm on the plane.
I don't.
That sounds horrible, but like I'm just like,
don't talk to me. Yeah.
But as I was listening to this and I was thinking about it, and I was also thinking, so our dad talks a lot about these bids for connection that people make where they say something that's kind of
mundane,
not dumb, but like mundane. Thank you. And they don't really care what your opinion is about, did you see the cardinal outside the window? They really are just looking to connect, right? And they're looking to start a conversation, and like, that's an easy way to do it. And I was thinking this last time I was flying home from Florida and I had a layover Dallas. I don't know, somewhere. I had a layover somewhere. But we only had, we had 20 minutes to get on our flight before it took off. And so I'm like, I'm hustling. All these other people are hustling to get to the gate to take our flight back to St. Louis. And so I'm standing in line. You know, I got there. I'm standing like by my number at the Southwest terminal. And this girl who was on the other flight with me, who I saw on the other flight, who we like smiled at each other, who also was running to catch the flight, is behind me. And she says, and I have my headphones in, and she says, I've never run that fast in my life to catch a flight. And I took one earbud out and I was like, I know, right? I was like, I wasn't sure we were going to make it. And she was like, I know. And I put my headphone back in, my earbud back in.
Cringe.
And I didn't, I didn't think that much of it at the time. Honestly, it was like 10:30 at night. Like I was tired. It had been a long freaking day and I was not feeling great. But anyway, while listening to this episode, I was like, that was bad. Like that, I could have started a great conversation with her or a simple conversation with her. Mm-hmm. Do you live in St. Louis? Like, you know, what do you do? Where were you coming from? Where, you know, like whatever. And instead I was like, yeah, that was rough running through the airport, man. Like, yeah.
Do you know what's interesting? This is reminding me of, I have a very good friend and he called me the other day and he, I mean, a couple months ago, I suppose, because he was also on a flight. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't know if I did this right. This girl was crying next to him on the plane. And he was like, so I just was like, are you okay? And like, he just like engaged in this conversation and she just opened up about how she's going to study abroad. And because she's leaving, her and her boyfriend broke up and she's devastated and just like telling him all about this. And he's like calling me because I'm a therapist. And he's like, do you think I handled it right? And I was like, regardless, it's over with. Like, but that, what's interesting is that there's this, we don't like encounter people anymore. Mm. And this is one of the points that they make in this episode is that our family units are stronger and like our family units are stronger. Our friends are stronger, but our community is weak. Mm-hmm. And I think you can see this play out in society based on like how much division there is. Why is there division? Because I am not intentionally choosing to encounter people different from me.
So I thought it was fascinating the stat they had about, they did a poll recently, I think it was 2023 or 2022, of of Republicans, would you date a Democrat? Would you go out on a date with a Democrat? Not even like become serious.
They all say no.
1/3 of Republicans said they would never go out on a date with a Democrat, and 2/3 of Democrats said they would never go out on a date with a Republican. That was fascinating to me.
You know, I asked Grandma about that. Grandma about that. Our grandmother is 95 years old. And I asked her, and she's a staunch Republican.
Right. Our grandma's a staunch Republican who was a staunch Catholic who married a Protestant.
But I asked her, I said, would you ever have dated a Democrat? And she goes, oh, honey, your grandfather was a Democrat. Like she married someone who was not her religion, who was not her political affiliation, because it like, and I'm lost for words, like, because today that would be so unheard of.
But I think it's because this is a different thing, but I think it's because we don't dialogue anymore.
Well, right. We're not like, encountering anybody.
And so the thing is like, if you learn how to dialogue with people who think differently than you and all of that, you can date or marry someone who thinks different politically or whatever, because you can have good conversations. But if everything is so polarizing, we're like, oh, if you think differently than me, you are a hateful person. You are, you know, you want X, Y, and Z like that. That's not true, and that's not good.
This is why these researchers in this article, they're arguing that, like, this is why our community is so weak, because we're actually not talking to people. We're sticking to ourselves. We're sticking alone, and we're no longer meeting a bunch of people in our community, your next-door neighbor who's probably different from you, the person at the bar, all of the things. You're not actually talking to them and getting to know them. Because what happens when you do? You move from these black and white ideologies into community and relationship with people in which you see that people with opposing views from you or differing perspectives are human and that they're probably not bad people and that they just have particular convictions and beliefs and that you can actually be pretty good friends with someone who's very different from you.
Yeah. I have a really good friend who thinks very differently than me, but you know, like but I think I was thinking about this recently because we did like a little happy hour. We do like Zoom happy hours together and like she gets a beer, I get a beer and we just catch up. And I was thinking like, why do I consider her such a good friend when we like disagree on a lot of what I would consider to me fundamental things, like that I'm like, this is not just an opinionable matter. Like, did you like this book or not? Like, you know, whatever. But I think the thing that we do agree on is like freedom of like the freedom of the person to follow what their conscience tells them is important or right. And like, we both hold that as very, very crucial to our lives. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I can be good friends with her, even though we don't agree. And she can be good friends with me, even though I don't, you know, like she doesn't agree with me.
Well, and here's the other thing. I will never forget one time I was in college. I was like really struggling. Like I grew up in such a bubble. And then college was like this rude awakening. And I am like a very opinionated, vocal person. I'll debate you. And now I've got like tact and skill with it. And I'm like, whatever. I'm very chill now. Younger me, not so much. And so remember I was talking to this priest about it and he was like, Monica, our life as Christians is about witnessing, not winning. And that, I will never forget that. And I think about that all the time, because sometimes I have a really strong moral conviction or opinion, and I'm like, Monica, shut your face. Like, nobody wants to hear it. Nope. Nobody was convinced to become anything because, like, logic won out. It's a movement of the heart. It's a stirring of the internal. How do you do that? Through relationship with people. Mm-hmm. And if we are not willing to talk to the person on the bus, talk to the person on the train, talk to the person in line at Starbucks instead of scrolling on our phone, we miss opportunities to even grow ourselves. Like, I have a handful of friends who are so, so different from me, so different. And a lot of them are actually, I was thinking about this because I was like, why do I miss CrossFit so much? Because it was a community. I knew people in my community in Chicago that I would never have met otherwise. And the thing is, like, they were all local. And I was out for a walk one day. I was going to go walk on the 606, and I, like, left my apartment. I get four doors down and I see one of my coaches. And I was like, Tim? He was like, Monica? And I was like, you live here? And he was like, where are you? And I was like, four doors down. He's like, wait, what? I didn't know the person four doors down from me until I got involved in the community and got to know all of them. And now I get to, like, walk in the street and be like, good morning, Tim. Like, that... I miss that. And that a lot of these people I became friends with, and we are so, so different, but we've had such great conversations, really good, deep debates. We respect each other's ability and freedom to be different. I'm not trying to convince you of anything else. I'm just trying to be a good friend. And I think this is why people are so lonely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's really fascinating because the University of Chicago professor who's done these studies said this more than any other study he's done in his entire life has changed his life, right? That, like, he now interacts with people in a completely different way than he ever had before. And, like, he's so grateful for this. And it was really making me think about so many different instances in my life where I'm like, I could have taken better advantage of this, right? Like, even, like, the other day I was laughing with a friend, like, the other day I went to get a massage, right? And the woman, and, like, I've gone a couple times to this woman. So, like, she remembers ish me, but, like, it's not like I'm there all the time, right? And the massage starts and she starts talking to me. And I'm like, no. My first reaction was like, no. Like, the whole point is, like, I'm supposed to be able to zen out and, like, just listen to the, like, ambient water noises in the background and, like, whatever. And so at first I was, like, answering kind of shortly, not, like, rude, but just, like, you know, quick answers or whatever. And then I was like, no, like, I should lean into this a little bit. So we probably talked for, like, 10 minutes of the 50-minute massage, and then she kind of got quiet and, like, went back to her thing. But I was like, you know, it's moments like that where, oh, one of the things that always drives me crazy is when people have their headphones in when they get their nails done.
I do that.
Or, like, watch, like, a little thing on their tiny iPhone screen. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this person, even though they don't talk to you, sometimes they don't even know English that well, but, like, they're doing a service for you. You're, like, looking face to face.
I know.
To a certain extent, and then you're there with your headphones and paying no attention. Like, so I don't put my headphones in. I don't have great conversations with them either. So I was like, maybe I need to be better at that. But I was like,
I understand how this professor, so Nick Epley, was like, this changed my life. Because when I tell you that, like, radically, I was like, I need to change. It was, like, really very night and day. I used to always admire people who could be, like, so outgoing and make friends with anybody. And I know that I had it in me. There's, like, an anxiety that, like, creeps in of, like, I don't want to talk to the person on the elevator. I don't want to do this or that. But I think he says, and I was like, oh, I love this, because this is what I teach my clients about anxiety. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is actually true. Monica, practice what you preach. Like, this is true of all of our emotions, where they argue that loneliness is not a bad thing. Loneliness is an emotion that should be a catalyst for you to engage. And then we shouldn't be getting rid of these feelings of loneliness. We should be getting rid of this extreme desire for solitude. Now, that solitude's very important because it's the way I reconnect with myself, with a higher power, all of the things. And solitude's important to some degree, but that we have this extreme, like, I'm not going to go eat in a bar alone. I'm going to order takeout. I'm not going to do this or that. I'm just going to stick to myself. And I thought about this a lot because I had moved into this apartment and I was like, I'm living alone for the first time in my entire life. Literally the first time in my entire life, I have never been alone ever. 30 years of living with other people and with good people who I felt so connected to. Like yeah. I have a friend, when I lived with her, she'd always be up before me. She'd make coffee and she would always pull out a coffee cup and leave it next to the coffee machine so that I had a coffee cup when I woke up. And it was like, I'm like, that's my new love language. Like, I need to tell the man that I marry one day, just make me fresh coffee and leave a cup out, like the thoughtfulness, right? And suddenly this idea of being alone mm-hmm. and living in my own space, no one to say good morning, good night to, no one to have coffee with. I was like, I am terrified of being alone and of being mm-hmm. very lonely. And then I listened to this episode and I was like, this is a choice. Loneliness yeah. to a certain degree is a choice. Mm-hmm. And this is a challenge for me to be outgoing, right? Yeah. And so I reached out to a friend. I reached out to someone who's very different from me. And I was like, hey, let's be friends. Put myself back on the dating apps. No. Kill me. Just kidding. I was like, okay, I am going to fill my life with people and with community and with things. And I'm going to be okay with these feelings of loneliness that pop in and out every now
right.
and then.
Right. And I think too, sometimes we can think like, I don't know, like when we have friends, like when we see them, right? If we're not like, especially as adults, right? Like you don't see your friends as frequently as you did in high school where you're like always hanging out or whatever. And so I think now you can be like, oh my gosh, it's like, it has to be this like big scheduled thing where like I get on her schedule and like we have this whole thing and like we're going out or whatever. And, you know, just the other day, this was actually before listening to this podcast episode, but like I've got two good friends here who are actually sisters. They're really good friends. And I just text them and was like, I cleaned the porch today. Do you want to come over and have beers on the porch tonight? And they were like, yeah, okay, what time? And I was like, anytime, come over whenever, right? And like, it ended up getting too cold to be on the porch. So we like sat in my living room and had a couple beers and like talked. And it was like a Wednesday night. Like it was not a Friday where we made it into a big deal. They were over for like 2 hours and then they left. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it can be easier than we think. And sometimes yes. we're like, it has to turn into this whole thing. Or
no,
exactly. The other thing I was thinking with all of this. So one of the people that actually the author of this article and the host of this podcast, he said he interviewed, but then it didn't make it into the article, but he interviewed several people from Catholic churches, which was interesting because he is yes. he's a secular Jew. But he interviewed several people from Catholic parishes, specifically in the Baltimore area where they had closed down parishes, right? Mm-hmm. And so closed and merged parishes, which a lot of our Catholic dioceses are doing that. They just did that in St. Louis, right, et cetera. And he talked to some of the parish priests there, and then he talked to some of the parishioners of these kinds of things. And so he was asking this, I think he said the man was like in his 70s or 80s, this Black man in his 70s, about what like the church community meant to him. And he was like, it's everything. Like it and my relationship with Jesus has gotten me through the worst of my life. And it was making me think, even on the parish level, I think we're failing here. Like we're failing as a community here. For a while, I moved out, and like three of us from the center that I live in, right? Like moved to an Airbnb while the house was under construction and we had no kitchen. And so we lived in this Airbnb that was nearby. And so we were going to the parish for Mass, which, you know, it doesn't normally happen or whatever. And I went to the same parish for Mass every day, almost every day at the same time for 5 months. And not one single person in the parish ever greeted me or asked my name or asked why I was there or if I was becoming a parishioner or anything. And I was just, I was so struck by that because I was like, how to be not welcoming? Mm-hmm. No wonder our church isn't growing. No wonder our church is being the lowest rates ever.
I was talking to someone recently and he's not Catholic and he was like, this is the problem with you guys is that there's no community. And like, first off, his whole thing was like, your marketing sucks. Like, how are you even bringing people in? And I was like, I agree. Like the Catholic Church has a lot of room for growth, but I will say other Christian communities do a much, much better job of creating community and meaning. And the Catholic Church is kind of just like, come for 60-ish minutes on Sunday and then GTFO. And well,
I think that's so problematic. Well, and it's some parishes. Other parishes are amazing, right? Like
because they put in the effort in understanding that it's community. It's community exactly. with the people around you who there's some one thing that you have in common, but that, you know, can we foster this connection and kind of this family spirit with people who right. are coming from all walks of life, all different, you know, races and ethnicities yeah. and support one another.
Right. No, I mean, it really is fascinating. Like after I had spent those, you know, 5 months going to this parish and not one single person greeted me, not the priest, like nothing. A couple months after that, I was going to a different church in a different part of the town for like a week. And at the end of like the week, the deacon came up to me and was like, "Hi, I'm Deacon." I forget his name. I'm Deacon Gabe. I just want to say, like, it's been great seeing you at daily mass. Like, welcome.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, "Oh, thank you." And he was like, "Did you just move to the area?" And I'm like, "Oh, like, no, that, whatever." Like giving him a little bit of the background. He's like, "Well, you're always welcome here. Like, I'm so glad you're part of us." And I was like, I was so moved by that because I was like, okay, because he took the time and he took the effort, right? And and anyway, and it was just making me think, like, we in our church communities could do this more. In our neighbors, how do we know our neighbors? Like, I mean, I like say hi to my neighbors, but like, I don't engage too much, it's like whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of the intentionality behind like each and every interaction. I was leaving my office building the other day really late, and I'm the last person there, except the night cleaning crew comes in, and I accidentally scared one of them because I didn't expect anyone to be in the building. And I like turn the corner, door slams, she jumps, and I was like, "I'm so sorry." And then we're laughing about it. But I was like, "What's your name?" Like, you know, it's simple, mm-hmm. but like it's meaningful, you know, to call someone by their name. Yeah. Is more meaningful than to just be like, "Hi," and keep your head down and walk away. And, you know, yeah.
It was also making me think a lot of our dad, which is very funny. Our dad is like super social. He's like an extrovert. He could talk to a wall and it would talk back to him. Like he just, but I can remember visiting him. Like we got excited when we got to go visit him at work. But he, every single person who got on the elevator, he knew their name. Like everyone, right? And like, it was like a big community. It was, I mean, a big company. Like he didn't work for some like small startup, right? And, I mean, he was director of HR. So like, he had to know them. But he knew everyone. He knew the cleaning people. He knew the entire mail room. And they loved him. Like, he knew them all. And not just like, "Oh, I just know Marvin's name." Like, I know Marvin's name and Marvin's story, you know? Marvin was the mailroom guy. He was great. But, you know, and I think I was like, "Oh, like that's but really
this is true." Like he, and I thought about this, I was been thinking about this a lot recently. He would make friends with everybody in an elevator, like anywhere you went. And it was like as a kid embarrassing because it was like, "Dad, stop." But like even like every server, every waitress, like he's like flirting with them, getting to know them. He's calling them by name. Like, and I think it just, in some ways, it really brightens people's days to just have really positive interactions with people that are like, it really costs us nothing except maybe a little bit of like that initial, 5 seconds, 10 seconds of discomfort in initiating, but that it can really change someone's whole day. You never know who you're going to meet. Like you don't, you don't know who you're going to meet. You don't know who you're going to say hi to. You don't know the impact that they're going to have on their life. And that like, if we really believed that like, there's no coincidences in this world, that we're meant to encounter people and that like, this is how we learn and grow. This is how they learn and grow. I mean, the research they were saying shows that community, and I thought this was so interesting. Like, I think it was Derek Thompson who in The Atlantic, he, and in the podcast, he's talking about the fact that family teaches you love and your friends teach you, I forget what he says that your friends teach you, but he argues that community teaches you tolerance and empathy and understanding because you're encountering people different and you're encountering their stories. And so they no longer become these statistics and they no longer become these boxes and they no longer become this political issue that's very othering. They become a real person. Encountering a real person,
right?
I have to be
right
human too.
Right. And it allows you to grow in empathy, not just sympathy, right? Where you can like literally walk in someone's shoes because you've met someone who thinks that way. Like, I think there probably are so many people who've like, "I've never met someone who XYZ. I've never met someone who's thinking of transitioning. I've never met somebody who's," you know, like even I think of our family, like we have only one person in our whole family who's divorced. One. Like that's, I mean, unique. It's kind of crazy, right? Like, and for a long time we could be like, I've never known anyone who's divorced, like no one. Right. And so it is like, it is a very unique thing. It was, so this was also making me think as I was, so I listened to it on my way home from my trip to Benedictine where I was visiting with these girls, and I was struck by how many of the college girls will say things like, "I don't have friends. I don't have that many friends. Or I don't know how to make friends." And I was thinking like how sad, like how do you make friends these days? And I think a lot of it is you have to put yourself out there. And like to his podcast, right? If you've put yourself out there or if you haven't put yourself out there, but you think it's not going to be well received from the person who's talking or who you're going to talk to, then you're not going to put yourself out there. So then you're never going to have friends, right? Anyway, so it was making me think, because I was talking to some of them about like easy icebreakers, like what could be easy things that could help create a conversation, right? And start something up. And I had come across this account on Instagram that just goes up to people randomly and says, what's your lock screen and what's the story behind it? And I was like, I adore that.
That's so cool.
Because that's whatever funny. It is, people want to talk about, right? It's their lock screen. It means a lot.
They're going to be like, these are my kids and I love them.
And so I was scrolling through the account because I was like, this is so cool. And it'll be like, this is the first time I performed somewhere. These are the stars at the cabin that I have in Colorado that my grandpa, like these kinds of things. And I was like, that in and of itself could be as easy as you need it to be. Hey, I'm Katie. Like, what's your lock? I'm curious. What's your lock screen? And what's the story behind it? Right? Like an easy way to engage and start conversation if you're like, I don't know where to begin. Because for introverts like me, we overthink all the conversations.
And, no, seriously. And I think sometimes I even think like when I'm in like a line at Starbucks to just ask the person behind me what I should get. I'm like, I'm so torn. What do you think I should get? What are you getting? Like, and you just kind of encounter them as if they're like a friend already, because it doesn't have to be that complicated. Even saying hi to someone. I mean, Nick Epley, I think the catalyst for this was that he was commuting on the metro into Chicago. And he was like, what if I just talk to someone today? And he sat next to this woman who had this like really big, really big red hat on. And he made some like funny comment like, hey, I really like your hat. I have one as well. And like, no, you don't, dude. And she like literally lit up and she laughed and they spent the rest of the time talking. And, you know, it's kind of that idea, like, can I find a creator to, you know, make eye contact with someone and say hi.
Right. Yeah. I love it. Okay. What should be our takeaway? Our little, I think challenge yourself to talk to people this week and let's report back next week, Monica, like who we've talked to or like what conversations we've had. I don't know. Yeah. Like, that'll be probably easier for you than me, but it'll be good both ways.
Well, I think, maybe.
I don't know.
But I mean, I don't know. Like, it's hard for me to do that alone. And I've been thinking so much about this concept of loneliness because I have never done I don't do anything alone. And I always delay. I always say, well, when I'm with someone, when I have someone, all these things, even to when I was a little kid, mom would say, go to the store and pick up like a carton of eggs. And I would go to one of the boys and I would say, mom says we have to go get eggs. And eventually they caught on and they were like, no, she didn't. She said, you need to go get eggs. Like, go alone. I was like, I don't want to go alone. I don't want to do anything alone. And even if I go to a party where I know nobody, if I show up with one person, I'll be super social and not going. If I show up alone, I'm like, ugh. Frozen, right? I go to a store alone, I put my headphones in, and I have no idea why I do that. And so that's something I need to think about. Okay. And that's the growth and challenge, right? To be like, okay, just say yes, just go encounter people. Mm-hmm. I actually even thought, I was like, this was radical. I was like, I should just go to a bar alone, just sit there, see what happens.
How intimidating. I mean, you could. I could. Why not? Or a restaurant, but settle up to the bar. Like, go to Applebee's instead of the bar. I don't even know if those exist anymore. I think they're out of business, but
anyway.
I love it. Okay, so hopefully that's good. I really want to hear people's thoughts on this and there. So like, send us a message on Instagram because I want to know what you guys have done. I want to know if this resonates with you. Obviously, we will share the link to the article and to the podcast in the show notes so you can listen to them yourself. But we recapped almost all of it. So you could just listen to us and it'd be better. All right. So that's it this week for Single Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are on your journey, remember that God is with you. And this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving the podcast, please take a moment to rate and review it. It helps more women like you find this community. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Join us on social media at Single Not Stalled on Instagram, as well as feel free to email us at singlenotstalled@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Until next time, keep living fully and walking boldly.